Welcome to a podcast of Opportunities for Authors from Emerging High Ed New Business Models, presented by Clancy Marshall, General Manager of Dynamic Books, and Jeff Shellstad, Co-Founder and Chief Executive Officer of Flat World Knowledge. This podcast was recorded at the 2010 Text and Academic Authors Association Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. TAA is the only nonprofit membership association dedicated solely to assisting textbook and academic authors to enhance the quality of textbooks and other academic materials by providing them with educational and networking opportunities. For more information about TAA, go to http://www.taaonline.net.
So thanks. First off, welcome to my home state. I'm a Minnesotan, so grew up about 50 miles south of here. And I went to school at the university and then started actually in this industry in 1987 when I graduated from the university. So my name is Jeff Shellstad. I'm the founder and CEO of Flat World Knowledge. And we are a new startup publishing company, which I think you'll hopefully enjoy hearing about. And then I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes or so, just give you an overview of how I see the industry, why I left Pearson to start this with my colleague Eric Frank, what our model does differently, very differently than the industry model, kind of how we're doing today, and then I see how I see the ecosystem break out and a little bit about our technology plans. And then I'll turn it over to Clancy Marshall, who's here, I'll let her introduce herself when she gets up. And then she'll go through the same thing, 10 minutes on what she's doing with Dynamic Books, and then we'll kind of open it up to all of you for Q&A, because we're hopefully have a lot of questions. So how do we see the problem or the opportunity in the industry? So fundamentally what we think is going on here is you got a consumer, an end consumer, a student who really is seeing a big value gap in the industry. So here's our student today. He's more mobile, more wired, more connected than ever, but also busier than ever and actually poorer than ever. So the growth in enrollments in higher ed, not just in the U.S. but around the world, are generally at the bottom of the economic pyramid. Huge growth in enrollments in community college generally over the last 10-plus years. So there's Bert, our college student. Typically, Bert's getting a textbook that's increasingly expensive. I've got some market-leading ones up there. They're starting to cross the $200 threshold new, and Bert's not real happy about that. And as I said earlier, the pain's not really evenly distributed. So Bert, if he's at a community college, he's paying upwards of 70% of the cost of his tuition and fees are also spent on the cost of textbooks. And so if he's at a public four-year university, it's around a quarter. If he's at Yale, it's not as big a deal. So what does Bert do? Well, about 10 years ago, or more than that, when the internet popped up, Bert became pretty savvy, and he figured out how to beat the system. First off, the used book market, which used to be a cottage industry when I was selling books, is now highly, highly efficient, and every used book finds a home as quick as it can, the internet's really enabled that to happen. You got the global reimportation problem, where the books that we would produce at the big houses, we would overprint them and sell them to our sister companies in Malaysia for $10, and lots of them would start reappearing back in more highly priced markets, exact same books. You've got the rentals, which is a recent phenomenon. Actually, it's not that recent. If you're from this area, the Wisconsin system has had the rental program for forever, but now it's nationalized or internationalized with Chegg and BookRenter and others, and well-funded, by the way. And then you've got the peer-to-peer reality, right? Students exchanging books both legally and in some cases illegally. So if you go to BitTorrent and Google virtually any market-leading book and put the word PDF after it, you'll find lots of available downloads of PDFs of market-leading textbooks. All of that makes the publisher's job really hard, which is to monetize the relationship with students, right? So what do? Well, they do some really innovative things, no question about it, but they also do some highly defensive things, and probably the reason why I started Flat World. First, price increases are out of control, right? So last year, Pearson, the largest publisher in the industry, 13.9% price increase in this economy. Probably not appropriate, but the students who do buy books have to subsidize the ones who don't buy new books. You got the bundling game, right? You got to introduce tons of ISBN so students are confused. They Google an ISBN, they can't find it. They assume they have to buy it in the local bookstore. Good and bad for the industry. And you've got the rapid revision. So all of you are authors, or most of you are authors, really aggressive revision cycles now. Some of it very legitimate. Lots of it just to flush out all the stuff that's on the left and give the publishers a big bump in one-time sales. So Bert's really frustrated, and so is everybody else. I mean, basically, I looked at my colleague Eric Frank in late 2006 and said, does anybody like us anymore? And we concluded no. And so we said, there's got to be a better way to serve this industry, serve all the key customers, and we think there's a much better way to do it. And so does BNet. They like us. We've got a lot of good press. So what do we do? Well, we do some things really similarly to the industry, right? So we think authors are at the helm of the industry. We think all of the value creation in the industry starts with a world-class author and drives through their ideas. I've thought that forever. I've been an editor since 1991. I think world-class authors are the whole value creation in the industry. Then we change. So we don't think the industry is wrong the way they produce books. As a matter of fact, the books we compete with in all the core markets we're in, they're really, really good books. Really good books. You can argue about their value relative to their price, but at the end of the day, the books plus the ancillaries are really well done, generally by the publishers. So we're not trying to change that. We're actually going out and getting those same authors, about 55% of our authors have written with one of the major houses, and we're getting them to do their next textbook with Flatworld. And I'll walk you through how we're able to do that. But once we get that world-class author, we help him or her write a great book. So we do all the peer reviewing, all the stuff I've done since 1991. So we do all the peer reviewing, all the product management, all the development, all the design, all the illustrations, all the art, all the copy editing, all the production. We're going to produce a great textbook and related ancillaries at the end of the day, because we think the industry does that. But then when we publish it, we flip the model on its head. So the first thing we do is we publish an openly licensed textbook. So both in the platform that we've built and the license that we've applied to our content, the faculty member, the educator, has complete control of our content. Right? So we use a Creative Commons license. It's a little stronger license because we need to protect our authors and our business. But basically, we are transferring the right to the educator to take our content and do whatever, in essence, they'd like to do with that content to better fit their course. And then, of course, our core deliverable is a free online book. So after an educator has done what they might have wanted to do with our book and say they're done and they're going to publish it, save it and publish it, the first deliverable is a free web-hosted book. We host it. It's free. No games. It's a free book, fully online. So we think those two things, great books, great authors, openly licensed and free, drive a ton of adoptions with faculty. But we haven't made any money yet. How do we make money? So Eric and I fundamentally believed when we left the industry that students were just consumers. And if you treat them fairly, they'll consume. Not all of them, and they don't all consume today. But if you treat them fairly, lots of them will consume. So we give them more choices than they'll ever get from anybody else. First is we give them print books, right? So lots of students really like print books, but they don't like them at $200. So we have a digital hub of 7 printers around North America. If I get an order, actually one of my printers is here in Chanhassen, so if I get an order from the University of Minnesota, the book is printed that afternoon at Chanhassen and mailed to the student. If the order is from University of North Florida, it's printed in my Memphis facility and mailed to the student that day. So the student can choose a black and white book for $29.95 plus shipping, or a 4-color book for $59.95 plus shipping. About 95% of students take the black and white book when they buy a print book. They can also buy print yourself, which I then download to them, a socially protected, it's got their name on it, socially protected PDF for $1.99 a chapter or $24.95 a book, and then they can print to their heart's content. I also sell all those other formats. I sell audiobooks by the chapter and by the book. I sell, in July, I'm releasing EPUB and .mobi. EPUB does all of the handhelds, notably the iPad, but also the Entourage Edge, the Sony Nook, the Barnes & Noble Nook, the Sony Reader. And the .mobi files, of course, do the Amazon Kindle or the Kindle DX. And then iPhone will be coming later on this fall. So the student has, in essence, 7 or 8 formats to choose from. All at the, or they can consume it for free. I also give them study aids, so those enterprising students who want to do well, they can purchase study aids right before the midterm to help them do well. Those are things like audio study guides, quizzes, flashcards, etc. So again, at the end of the day, what this is world-class textbooks, 100% control of content transferred to the educator, and 100% control of consumption transferred to the student. So now I think I've made everybody happy, or at least that's my bet, that everybody's happier. BERT gets access, affordability, and choice, things that he might not be getting enough of from the industry today. He also gets disaggregation. He can buy by the chapter or by the book. And hopefully he gets something that matches his learning style a little better. If he's a mobile guy, he's got an audio book. If he's a print guy, he's got a print book, whatever. The faculty gets complete control of content, but they start with a great book. So I'm putting the discipline and the rigor of book development into the open education space. I'm betting that I can produce great books that licensed openly will drive a lot of usage. Professor also gets really easy integration into his LMSs if they want that, right? So openly licensed book, it's pretty easy to embed a flash object of our entire book right into your LMS. We can maintain the e-commerce transactions, so we're happy to get our books wherever they need to be to make learning most efficient. I may not make the publishers happy, but we'll see. The game's got to be played. But I think with this model, I get rapid share gain, really sticky customers. I've certainly reduced the costs in the industry, taken a lot of costs out of the industry overall. I started with a product that I think most customers can be very comfortable with. It's called a textbook. And I think majority of faculty can be really comfortable starting with a textbook. And then, of course, authors. I believe authors should make a lot of money. My bet is that even with the presence of a free book, my authors will win. So Chris Anderson, in his book, Free the Future of a Radical Price, actually profiled Flatworld and showed that over four or five semesters, the Flatworld authors come out ahead. That's our argument with authors. It hasn't been played out yet because I'm only in the second semester of sales, but I can tell you that I have really happy authors. And Steve can maybe even vouch for it. So we think we get rapid share gain with our authors. We think one of the really cool things is we get behavioral data, right? So I'm capturing every change that a faculty member has made. I have to go back and ask faculty members what they think about the book. I actually see it. They all eliminated chapter four. I can just see the data right in front of me. Get to be a good guy again, and hopefully it's the future of this industry. So how am I doing? Got 20 titles published. They're all in the business and economics field right now. So we started in the business school. So I have 20 titles published. I have 40 more coming in the next couple of years. About 100 authors under contract. I said more than 50% have published successfully with Pearson or McGraw or Cengage and have chosen to do their next book with us. It's actually a lot of fun to try to sign products with this model. We brought our first book out in the spring of 09. We had 10 books in the spring of 09. We were in 480 classrooms in the fall of 09. With about 23,000 students. We had another about 23,000 students in the spring of 2010. This fall, we're going to be in front of about 1,200 classrooms and close to 100,000 students. So we're getting a lot of traction with faculty. Faculty like what we're doing. They like the product. And of course, they're getting generally very good feedback from students. We've got a low cost of sales. The model is really strong, and it carries us a long ways. We get a lot of peer reviewing, or a lot of peer referrals. Obviously, a happy faculty member at School X is likely to speak up, and that helps us get two or three more faculty members at that school. How are we doing on conversion? So is anybody making money? We have 50% of students convert from free to paid. And I will say we haven't spent much money on this side of the business yet at all, because without great textbooks and without a platform and faculty adopting them, we really don't have a business. So we kind of concentrate most of our early spend on getting the books, getting the platform, and getting the faculty to adopt. And now we're kind of slowly moving towards conversion. But 50% convert, far and away the most popular product is the black and white print book, which is $29.95. And when students purchase, about 72% of them buy a print product, either the black and white book, the color book, or the print it yourself. It's very popular. Students very much like print. We've got new agreements in place with Barnes & Noble, Follett's, and Knack, so all the bookstores are somewhat embracing us, some way more than others. The innovative guys in the space really like what we're doing. We actually have a number of bookstores this spring who are printing books, or this fall, who are printing books for us. So we're printing locally. So lots of neat things going on with bookstores. There's also this for-profit career channel where we've got a lot of traction in. We've got a big five-book co-development deal with one of the major players and lots of other adoptions. About a third of our revenue is coming out of this space right now. Here's the president of Cerritos College, which is a big urban community college outside L.A., 24,000 students. I was just on her campus this spring. She wrote an article in Community College Weekly saying, flat world is increasing my retention. So she has half of her students are online, the other half come to campus, and she is saying basically the access issue is helping her retain students. Students, there's no complaining anymore. I can't afford the book. I didn't get it from Amazon. I'm still waiting. As soon as the course starts or as soon as a faculty member adopts, the book is immediately available. So all the distance learning students, if they only come on campus the third week to pick up their book, in Flat World's case, they've all got access to the electronic book and some have already purchased. So I want to be very clear, there's a lot going on in this space. It's really noisy, lots of capital pouring into it. We've been successful raising capital ourselves, but we're a very unique play. We are really Publisher 2.0. We are completely agnostic about where the book is purchased. Obviously, we're direct to students, so it's great if they purchase off the Flat World site, but we're playing with a lot of other people that will have our books also. We are going hard after the oligopoly. We are fighting for faculty mindshare in both authors and adoptions, and the only people that really do that are the publishers, so we're going right after their bread and butter, in essence. All of the dollars in our mind flow through the faculty. Our books will be, this fall, will be on all those things in orange with the exception of Course Smart. I don't think we'll be there. Chegg, I don't think Chegg's going to buy our books. Our price points are too low, and they don't like our customization. Here's just a venture beat which says Chegg's got a lot of money, but Flat World's a better play. That's what we hope. We hope they're right. Give you a quick visibility into our platform. So right now on the faculty, the power you have as a faculty member is what I would call up, down, and delete, and annotate. So you can come into our catalog if you like one of our books, make a copy, a derivative copy of it, and then you can move any content around, however you want to move it around, and you can insert annotations after every paragraph, every figure, every illustration, whatever. That's your power today. I'll show you the next release in a couple seconds. But basically, once you do that, I can generate for you all those versions in a second, right? So they all flow right into my reader, all the commerce kicks up, the student's immediately able to purchase your customized book, and you're off and running. In the fall, December 1st, what I'm going to release is the big enhancement I'm going to release for faculty members, the ability to insert their own documents. So if you've got a cool chapter on search engine optimization sitting on your hard drive and you want to put it in my marketing book, go ahead and do it. It'll come into the book and be available to your students in all the formats. The other thing I'm doing is allowing you to edit right down to the sentence level as of 12.1. So a faculty member can come in, make a derivative copy of my book and edit, eliminate examples they don't like, do whatever they want. Complete control of content. And I really want to be Publisher 2.0, right? What I want ultimately is everybody to feel like they can be an author. So whether you make it through our kind of gate of saying you can be a world-class author and write a great book for us, or whether you do a derivative of one of our great books, or eventually I'm going to open up the platform and let the whole world author. It might be under another brand, but since the tools are there, I'm going to let everybody come in and author, set your own price, probably set your own royalties, set your own take, set formats, give you, the authoring community, complete control of how you want to interact with your students. Again, probably under a different brand, probably more like a Longtail Press versus Flat World, which is really a premium publisher against the big guys. But that's ultimately where we're going in the next 2 to 4 years. And with that, I will turn it over to Clancy.
Okay, so I'm Clancy Marshall. I'm a general manager for Dynamic Books. And I guess, if you don't mind, this is the first time that I've come to this conference. So I'm just curious, are the majority of you textbook authors with major publishers right now, or you're interested in becoming textbook authors? So can I just like see a show of hands? How many are textbook authors with traditional publishers right now? Okay. And how many are interested in becoming textbook publishers? Okay, so it's about half and half. Okay, great, thanks. So let me tell you a little bit about what we are doing with Dynamic Books. To give you a little bit about my background, I've been in traditional textbook publishing for the last 15 years, signing authors, and I've launched some very successful first editions, second editions, and I loved working with the major publishers to bring out very successful textbooks. But what I started to find, as Jeff mentioned this, is that the biggest challenge that I think that the publishers face, and those of you who are with traditional publishers right now have probably seen it, is this drive to sell new books. And the way to do that is to revise your book every 3 years or every 4 years, whether or not you necessarily want to do that. And so I talked with my authors when I was working for the traditional publishing company, and I said, you know, do you want to bring these books out every 3 years? Do you think it's necessary to completely rewrite the book every 3 years? And to be honest, a lot of them said, you know, I think they're pretty good the way they are. there are a couple things I want to change, but I don't want to revise the whole book. So what we started thinking about was, how can we create a model that that is better for students, better for instructors, and really better for authors? And we came up with Dynamic Books. So what Dynamic Books is it's an online platform that enables instructors to go in and completely customize any existing textbook. And Dynamic Books is open to all major publishers. It's open to authors who want to create their own materials, and it's open to open source organizations. And so once an instructor adopts your book, if it's part of the Dynamic Books platform, that instructor then has the freedom to go in and completely customize it. So they can edit what you've written. They can upload audio. They can upload video. They can upload images. And they can really try to make that book very pertinent for their students. So instead of taking, instead of a book, you know, the students purchasing the traditional book that was written by someone who hasn't come into their class, they're now seeing a book that has their instructor's comments, their instructor's videos, their instructor's audio embedded. And for you, what this means is that you have now created a living textbook. You're going to continue to generate royalties, the same royalties that you were generating before, except you don't actually have to revise these books. What you can do instead is maintain contact with the community of instructors who are modifying your books and help them and make some suggestions about what they might want to include. So when I mentioned before that what Dynamic Books is it takes an existing textbook and it enables an instructor to go in and edit it, this is what it looks like. So it's really easy to do. I mean, it's if you're comfortable using any word processing program, I mean, if you're comfortable working in Word, you can very easily go in to your textbook and rewrite a section. You could also, you know, there are some creative ways that you could do this. You could, if students have questions in class, if there's something that's covered differently in the textbook, you could actually just delete that paragraph and say, as we covered in class, see these notes, and you could upload your notes if you wanted. You could even say, as, you know, student X pointed out in class, this is a better way to explain it, and so I'm going to put this in the book so that you guys have something that we talked about in class to go in and study with. And it's interesting because when we talked with students about the reasons that they aren't purchasing textbooks today, that there are two main reasons. We all probably know the first reason, which is that they think textbooks are too expensive. But the big second reason for students that they don't want to purchase textbooks is that they feel like they aren't relevant to their class. They feel like the textbook they don't need it to get through the class. So really, what we have to do is give instructors the power to make the textbooks that we're creating really relevant for the students. So we've tried to make this very easy for them. It's very easy to use. And then this is what the student's experience looks like. So the instructor goes in, you'll modify, you'll make changes, and then the student will go in, and they have a downloadable book. They have access to an online book. They can highlight, they can take notes. But what I wanted to point out here is that here are these marks that I've made here where it says instructor edits. Anything that an instructor has changed from the original text will be highlighted in blue like this. So as an example here, an instructor went in, they're talking about operant behavior, and they said, okay, here I've uploaded a modern video about a Skinner box and, you know, what that might mean. So it's actually a picture of his kid in a, you know, one of these... yeah, right, I know, it's been a long time. But so they, shockingly, Fisher-Price has built these little things where babies have to tap their foot on it, and every time they tap their foot, they get a, make a sound, which is really the exact same thing as what the, they taught the mice to do. Anyway, so this instructor uploaded that, but it's clearly highlighted, so you know that wasn't something that you, as an author, had written. And then at the top of every page that has been edited, it will say psychology by Dan Schachter as edited by instructor X. So it's very clear what was your original material and what was modified by an instructor. In addition, students can go in and take notes and highlight and search by key terms. They have a lot of great functionality. They can also, with Dynamic Books, they can print sections out page by page. So for one price, they get it online, downloadable, which they can keep after class, and then they can print sections of the book up to 10 pages at a time. If they want a printed bound version that includes all of their instructor's edits, they can also they can order that in black and white or color. And that's from any online retailer. Their instructor will give them the ISBN. So we have a bunch of pilot titles. Dynamic Books is owned, our parent company is Macmillan. Macmillan owns a number of trade publishers. Their college imprint is Bedford, Freeman, and Worth, which some of you may have heard of. But I was very clear when I started working with Macmillan that if we were going to have Dynamic Books be successful, that we needed to work with every major publisher. So we're talking with everybody right now. So we do have an initial list of pilot titles from major publishers, but we continue to add to that. And one of the things that we're also interested in doing is starting to work with authors directly. Authors who don't necessarily want to work with a traditional publisher, who want to come to us and provide files, put them into the Dynamic Books platform, and then edit their books as if they as an instructor would. So, again, I can talk more about that later, too. I just wanted to pull this up, dynamicbooks.com. There's a lot of information there. You guys can visit the site. It talks about advantages for students, for instructors, and of course, for authors. It's a way for you to find out exactly how the program works. And that's really it. That was all that I was going to cover. Jeff and I both wanted to give you an overview of what we're doing. And I think that what we're both excited about, although our businesses are a little bit different, is that I think that we've both recognized that the traditional publishing industry, you know, there could be some tweaks and there could be some new models that could emerge from that. And we just wanted to share that with you guys as authors or potential authors. And so I guess if you have questions for me or for Jeff, go ahead. And then if you just sat silently here, we prepared some questions that we'll ask. Yes?
Good question. And first of all, applause to both of you for leading the way in something that's very good in a troubled situation. I mean, come on, we've got a mess on our hands here.
Yeah.
It's only this kind of thinking outside the box that can fix it. It's clear. Mm-hmm. Anybody that sits back and looks at it at arm's length. Well, just to be clear that I understand your concept, mm-hmm. French discipline, and teaching the French language, mm-hmm. when you describe what my notes call customizing for instructors, the living textbook idea.
Yes.
Teaching French in upstate New York has a different accent from Louisiana, has a different accent from Southern Cal, where we teach Parisian French. I'm tossing out quick examples.
Uh-huh.
Is that the kind of customizing you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, that would actually be a perfect example for uploading audio. So if you had recordings, so, you know, the student is probably going to see the words written in the same way, right? but they could actually then, you could upload audio that sounds closer to what they're actually going to be speaking. So absolutely, yeah. So it's really just, it's about more making it more relevant for students. So,
can you give us an idea of your pricing and what the rates are for the authors?
Yes. So the way our model works, so we work with traditional publishers, we work with authors directly. The majority of our business right now is working with publishers who have existing authors. So those existing authors will continue to generate royalties based on their existing agreements. So that ranges by discipline. It ranges anywhere from 12 to 20% royalties, depending on what discipline you're publishing in. But you would continue to generate, you would have to check your contract. So if you have a contract with your existing publisher, generally, I mean, if you've been signed recently, so say in the last 5 years, it's probably in your contract that you receive a specific royalty on electronic editions of your work. This would fall under that clause. So you would receive whatever royalty you were going to receive for any electronic edition. If you are not with a publisher right now, that's something that that you would negotiate. When you're talking with a publisher, you would say, I'm interested in my royalties on print books, and I'm also interested in my royalties on electronic editions. Pricing is, again, it's set by the publisher. So you guys, I don't know if you guys were following in the trade news, there was a lot of debate about the agency model pricing recently, which that's the model that we are following. So what that means is that the publisher, so if we're working with Pearson or we're working with Cengage, Pearson or Cengage will set the price of the textbook, and we take a percentage of that. Now, the average price that for Dynamic Books is about 50% of the net price of a traditional book. So it's up to the publisher, but our concern with Dynamic Books is that we have no interest in publishing Dynamic Books that are as expensive as the books that are in the bookstore. So we're really working with publishers to try to bring those prices down.
So you aren't looking for new authors?
You know, we are. Right now, Dynamic Books is not signing authors to the Dynamic Books imprint. It's actually, it's a little more freedom than that right now. It's what you could do is contact us, and you could, here's what the process would be. You would provide us with your files. So if you have, you know, whatever you're working in, Word files, what we would want to do is begin to design those files. We have designers that we've partnered with, and then we would convert them to XML, and then you would be able to work with them from within the Dynamic Books platform. And then what we would do is we would post them in the Dynamic Books store and make them available to anybody who wants to use them. So it's similar to open source organizations that you might work with, except that you are part of a platform that would also include publisher-provided materials.
Did you have the same question?
Yes, our prices range from zero, obviously, for the reader. It's very, and in the reader, it's both an HTML view and a PDF view, so both, so they can follow along in pages. And then the print books are $29.95, black and white, $51.95 color, $24.95 for each. Handheld reader versions are $24.95.
And what about your royalties? How do you?
Our royalties are, so what we say to our authors is, we're going to sign you to one rate that's good on any format, any type of monetization we might do now and in the future. So we pay our authors 20% royalties, and it's on every nickel we earn. So if ultimately, use the extreme case, the only revenue I generate is around Google Ads, our authors will get 20% of Google Ads. If it's around data sales, if it's around print products, artists, if it's in Malaysia, if it's in Massachusetts, it's fine. There's nothing in our contract that's misleading. It's just, your contract's for 20%. And so what we encourage our authors to do is help us build big communities. And then we're going to figure out ways that the industry hasn't yet figured out how to monetize that relationship with students. Right? It could be, I mean, what we're not going to do is probably run ads in our books. Might be a lot of things we do 5 years from now that I can't predict. But if it generates a dollar, we're offering 20 cents.
And can we implant website?
website links and things mm-hmm. like that.
Of course, yep. You can implant anything as long as you have the rights to it. So if you implant Kotler's Chapter 9, we got problems.
No, but if I go to a video, does it open up a new window?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That solves that problem.
Yes?
I have an author moral rights question. I totally understand if an author wants to, or an instructor wants to enhance accepted aspects you might feel about your book. But what if you have an evolutionary biology or sexuality, and I have a question.
Sure.
What happens if you have creation science or something slamming real marriage, and that's clearly not what you are?
We probably have different responses.
I get that question a lot because what we're doing is we're working with existing textbooks. So we have psychology authors who have certain viewpoints, and obviously biology authors who have certain viewpoints. And when we enable the instructor to go in and modify that, you're absolutely right. They could delete the section on homosexuality and rewrite it. Now, there are a couple of ways of looking at this, and a couple of protections that we've made. First of all, any content that has been deleted is highlighted in blue, as is any content that has been edited. So when the student goes in, they will see, when they're reading that section, a blue highlight over new material, and then they'll see a blue highlight saying content has been deleted here, and at the top of the page they will say, psychology by so-and-so as edited by instructor X. So they know that that material has been modified. And then they also have an appendix in the back of their book that references them. So anytime you see content has been deleted, the student actually has all of the original content by section in an appendix. So they could choose to go and see what the original explanation or description was. One of the things, though, that also I think that it's just important to point out is that what we're trying to do with Dynamic Books is we're trying to make students aware of everything that was in the original book and also aware of what their instructors are doing to try to personalize it in the course. And I do think that it's important to be aware of the fact that if you have an instructor who is not going to cover evolution or not going to cover homosexuality, it's likely that they're not going to use a traditional book, or if they do, it's likely that they're going to say those things in class, whether it's in the textbook or whether not. So, I think one of the realities is that students really listen to instructors, and they base their understanding primarily on what they're learning in the classroom. I think the best thing you can do is to get the student involved in the textbook so that if they start to trust that it's related to what they're learning in the classroom, they'll continue to refer to it. So if they have an instructor who's talking about these things, and they go in and they look and they see the whole page is blue, this whole section is blue, content's been deleted, students are curious. I think they're going to see.
There'd be hands up all over the room, right?
Yeah, or I think at least they're gonna look at it. So that's my perspective on it.
I'm not sure I have that much of a different perspective, to be honest with you. So all of our derivations, all of our custom work, so you'll see the changes that are made by Professor Smith versus the canonical author. I think Professor Smith, if he or she has a really strong viewpoint, stands up in front of class and expresses that strong viewpoint, whether it's a print product or a digital product. We're facilitating that to a greater degree, perhaps, but that's a risk we're willing to take. Our goal is to eliminate all the kind of walls between publication and use of content. This is one of them we're trying to eliminate. We have authors that won't sign with us for that reason, and that's fine. There's a lot of publishers out there that won't let people touch your stuff.
But is the original material, or something as like day as this example, is the original material still available for the student if they're inquisitive?
Yeah, what we do is we aggregate it all on a website. So it's just a simple website that we just aggregate it all the changes that are kind of behind the scenes. It's all tracked for the professor, the author too. The professor and the
Are the student downloads changes with guide and instructor? Are they downloading just the edited version, or are they downloading trend changes on it?
they download, so with dynamic books, when they download a version, they see the instructor's changes in their version. They don't download an original and then download their instructor's version.
They download the entire edited version.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They download the entire edited version, which will come highlighted, but with all the changes. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly right.
How do you show that difference of black and white?
It's just that we actually run a line in the margin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's similar.
Yep, we did the same thing.
Yeah, yep, it's available. Yeah, although I think there's a little bit of disruption there that we're trying to stay away from, right? If a professor made a legitimate change, then 99.9% of them are going to be legitimate changes that he or she made. They're not all going to be offensive, right? They just think they don't want to color, but to have them there in a different color is kind of defeats the purpose. So they're more hidden than that.
You, I see you're editing text, but what about graphics, labels?
Sure. All that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, again, everything in the book we want to transfer control of to the user. Yep.
In our book, you cannot actually edit an image. You can delete an image and replace it, but you can't go in and modify an image. So we delete it and replace it. Because of the permissions issues, so... a lot, you know, when we get permissions to use works, generally we don't have permission to modify that image, which is why it's just either deletable or replaceable.
Yeah.
Who gets the permissions for illustration, and who pays for the permissions?
I mean, I come from traditional publishing, so it's we help the author get all of the permissions for, whether it's text permissions, art permissions, we, as a publisher, we help get them, and then it's just a negotiation, who's paying for what. Text permissions generally fall to the author. I pay for them, they're covered from the author. Other permissions tend to be paid for by the author. But it's a negotiation.
And we, so if you're starting with a base model, then that was the traditional publisher paid for the permissions. The instructor is responsible for clearing permissions on any material that they upload. So they have to certify, they have to agree to a terms of use, saying, I certify that anything that I'm uploading here, I have the right.
Yes.
Can we guess that's the history of the name Flat World, or is there something else on it?
the history is, of course, yeah, it's Friedman's book, and the walls coming down around the world. And, yeah, so that's the history is. We think education is the black gold of the 21st century. We want to enable the whole world to be educated and free and open money. Money from.
How do you do marketing of books? How do you promote adoptions?
In a lot of different ways. So we spend a lot of money on PR. So we're a very noisy firm for 20 books. And that helps. I mean, when we left the industry, we in addition to thinking a lot of things weren't working, we also thought the sales model didn't work. And so we do things very differently from the marketing perspective. Our authors are much more involved in marketing if they choose to be. We ask them to be. And so we do a lot of webinars, a lot of training, that kind of stuff. We do a ton of PR, as I said. We do a lot of conventions, a lot of speaking. My co-founder and I are constantly talking about what we're doing. We have a huge faculty advocate program, so early adopters who spread the word for us on campus. But most principally what we do is we market to faculty, but via the web. So when I sign a book in Sociology, Steve's book, I buy a list of faculty. I've taught sociology the last 3 years. Let's say it's, in that case, it's a lot. 15,000 faculty. I've installed a CRM sugar installation. I load all those 15,000 faculty with office hours and all their contact information in my CRM, and I run a campaign for them. And if they respond to the campaign and they come to my site, I know who they are, I track them, I assign a point value to them based on what they did. If they start to customize Steve's book, they're probably really interested. If they ask for a print copy of Steve's book, they're probably pretty interested. And then I have a telesales team that follows up. Every night I scrape the site, get the office hours set up for the next day for the reps who come in, and they pop, open up their computer, and there's 100 new leads, all scored for them, and then they start calling back and saying, hey, I saw your request for a copy of Steve's market sociology book. Can I help you out? Can I help you out with it? And you just follow that process through. So it's way much more marketing up front, and then sales and support versus the other way with merchandising, which is all sales and hoping it comes up with that. Yeah. So.
Is it just college text or
it is
high school is awesome?
Yeah, one of the reasons we're scared of K-12 is exactly your issue. Because I do think K-12, we get into the parents and the government, and it's a stickier issue to be open. It's not quite as easy to just transfer all that control over into that. And we don't have any answer. I mean, I will say, if you went to our site, you went to find my class and did a search for high school, you'd see 50 high schools that use our books. But it's through no efforts of ours. It's just PR driving interest in high schools that picked up some of our titles. But we don't market at all.
You don't market, but you do services for your company.
Yeah, well, we sell to, yeah, I mean, our, you know, what's weird about our business, or unique about it, is I don't even have to know you already come to the site. You can look at the entire book, and you can click it out. I generate a URL for you. Your class is set up. As I said on one of my slides, 2/3 of my 1,200 options, no sales. Just faculty. Come to this site, liking the author, grab the book, adopt it. They're off and running. I have people adopt Sunday at 10 o'clock for a course starting Monday at 9:30. And they're all wrapped. There's no trick. It's there. I mean, it's the book is there. Everything's there. You're off and running. You don't need to adopt. You surely don't need to adopt March 15th for a course that starts September 1. It's just crazy. August 31st is fine.
You said that right now you were involved only in business and economic area of books.
Or, well, we've signed, about a year ago, we moved into general education. So Steve Parkins doing a sociology book with us. And so we're...
I'm in mass communications. But, so
we're trying to be... What we want to do is in the next 3 to 5 years is be able to walk into any community college, state college in the country and say, I've got your entire freshman and sophomore grade book in my bag. It's all free. It's all open. Let's talk. So anything that's a big enrollment, we're excited about. So we have close to 100 authors, 60 books under contract, and they're all about 35 in the business disciplines, and the other 25 in what you would consider big general education courses: math, English, political science, psychology, sociology, etc., etc. Yep.
Regarding revisions, like I'm in human anatomy physiology, which in some areas it does change rapidly. And so a 3-year revision cycle actually makes sense in that area. Do you, like
into the flat world, do you plan on having certain editions, like edition one, edition two, or is it just an ongoing process of revising?
Yeah, so we have kind of two responses to that. So the first is our content's live, like Clancy used. Our content's completely live. So if you go to our site today and see some of our books already in version 1.1, edition 1.1. So our authors have updated every summer and just released some new editions. So our content's live. You can update as an author every week, every month, every year, whatever you think is relevant. But the key to us is we never push that out of fact. So it's irrelevant. So I'll have in the future, using Steve's example again, Steve will have his sociology book, let's say it's in version 2.4, now we're in year 2017 or whatever, and underneath his catalog of the 2.4 edition will say previous edition, and adopters can effectively can adopt any of those from 1.0 all the way to 2.4, and it'll say derivatives. You click on derivatives and you can see 70 derivatives of Steve's book, all defined by family, that they can adopt those too, and all the royalties for them, to Steve and some royalties for the year.
Thanks. Opportunities for Authors from Emerging High Ed New Business Models is an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.